Good afternoon and welcome.
Radio.
How does that happen every time? Good afternoon and welcome to the Omega Leader Series show with best-selling author Lori Beth Jones. She is the author of 14 books and with us today to share in studio about Jesus Entrepreneur. We have Lori Beth. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And we have a dear friend calling in from Dallas, the place that we feel that has been cursed with bad weather every time we go to Dallas. But dear friend Terry Burnett of Proven Way Ministries. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you. And it's honestly not so bad the time. I'm hoping that y'all get an opportunity to see our good weather.
You know, I had a over lunch a friend. I think you know David Bauman. You met David a few months back together. He texted me at lunch, and he saw my tweet go out that I was having lunch, and I said something about just grateful to be out of Dallas. And he said, you know, it wasn't really that bad. It was just a lightning storm and one tornado. You know, it wasn't too bad.
That is a mild spring weather for us.
Yeah,
mild.
but Terry, we're so grateful to have you on the show with us today. Thank you so much for bringing your experience around these two topics. We're going to be talking about how the Omega Leader himself didn't really knew that a business plan probably wouldn't save him, and how this concept that Lori Beth is calling deja vu, doing something all over again or seeing it again for the 10th time and asking yourself, why am I in this spot? So this will be a fun show today, and we're excited to have both of you ladies as part of the Omega Leader show. So let's jump in, Lori, and talk to us a little bit about this. These two chapters are in the lurch section. So in Jesus Entrepreneur, it's broken into these four developmental phases inside this book: the launch, the lurch, the lessons, and the love. And in this particular segment, the lurch, you talk to us about this concept of how a business plan would not save us. We're in the lurch. What is going to save us?
Well, in the pre-show, Terry was sharing with me that she's had very similar experiences, and certainly, you know, business plans are important and strategy is important, and the earth part of a business, you know, the details. Jesus said nobody goes to battle without counting the cost, and all of that is important. And yet for the wind, which I am, the wind fire, we tend to launch things with just on instinct or a hunch, or you know, we throw our hat over the bar and then our body follows. So what occurred to me as I was thinking through this is that when you look at Jesus's ministry, there wasn't really a daily agenda that he followed. Okay, at 9:15, you've got to be here. At, you know, 11:17, you've got this meeting. And I remember when Prince Charles someone was interviewing him about his life years ago, and he said that he is scheduled out 6 years in advance.
Oh my gosh!
Well, what kind of life is that?
Wow!
So, yeah. So let's talk about that, Terry. This notion of business plan, vision, launch, lurch. Tell us what you're thinking about that and how that related to you and your ministry.
Honestly, when we started 8 years ago in our ministry, I did not have a business plan, and it wasn't something that I, it wasn't my idea. The Lord put, you know, he put it on my heart, the calling on my heart. I knew what my mission was, and I did exactly what you said in the book. You know, I threw my heart over, and my body followed. Now, I do believe that, and since then, I have written a business plan, but it didn't look anything like if I'd have written it at the very beginning, you know, when my ministry first started. So I, you know, I think, like I said, it's important, and I think it's something that we should all look into and know how to do, whether it's, you know, crucial to that person who's starting a ministry or starting a new business or whatever. You know, the Lord's going to direct, and I really, you know, the verse that in our minds we make our plans, but the Lord directs our steps. For me, that's been more true. That I make my what plans I can conceive in my own mind, but watching for His steps, watching for His leading, and just trying to follow my heart.
Yes, and I think keeping the vision in front of us. We talked a little bit about that, the difference between a business plan and a vision. A vision is the end result of really what you want to see happen. You know, you're clear that perhaps in your case, you want women to be empowered in the churches all over the country and to be supported as they go forth and minister. Certainly with us, we want people all over the world to be clear about what God called them to do. And that's what's driving us. And at the same time, we were just in a meeting in Dallas, and I was asking one of the gentlemen who had convened the meeting, I said, so what do you think the strategy is going to be here? And he said, what I've found is you get the right people in the room talking about a big idea, and the next step becomes evident.
Yeah.
And sure enough, beautiful things evolve from that. So I think it's really important to have the right people in dialogue, to be listening for the Holy Spirit to move, and to know that as long as you're moving forward, even if it's a lurching fashion, you're moving towards what the dream is, that somehow you'll find a way, God will make a way.
And I
Go ahead, Jerry.
I was just going to say that a vision, the importance to me of actually writing it down, you know, of not only visualizing it in your mind, but writing it down, is not just for you, you know, to be able to, trace the history and see what's happening and have that, but also for those women that are, or men that are working with you, in my case women, to be able to catch that vision. Because if you don't have a clear written vision, you know, that they can read and you put it in front of them at all times, they normally don't have the same passion as you have as the leader. So it's harder for them to keep, you know, fresh in that area. So they've got to keep reading it. It has to be in front of them.
Yes. Make the vision plain so that they may run who read it.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
ask both of you ladies, so do you have an experience, either of you, where there's been this very, 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 very clear business plan, but it lacked vision and it never went?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear about that.
Well, the vision plan...
A business plan.
Well, a business plan for me was to build the largest healthcare ad agency in Southern California, you know, success, which really came out of, I think, my father's unlived life, his drive to be a really successful business person. And he wrestled with it, too, and I share in the chapter that he turned down promotion after promotion in his company so that he could be home and pick us up after school and shoot baskets with us and take us to the tennis court. And yet, I think part of him felt guilty that because he had a peer who kept getting promoted and ended up being something like the vice president of Procter & Gamble, who had to move his family like 8 times. And yet Dad, you know, he became president of the Park Association, and that was a big deal. So he made conscious choices, but I think he was subconsciously driven. His brother worked at the Pentagon. His brother was a war hero. And Dad was the second born, so never quite measured up. And I think that I took on the unlived life of my father, trying to be that successful multimillionaire business person, but then would run up against my core value, which was freedom, which success and freedom don't always go hand in hand. Right, Terry?
Amen.
Terry, do you have an example?
Yeah, actually, it's in my business plan for Proven Way. One of the areas that was outlined and that I was following as part of our business plan was resources. And because, you know, most ministries, that's one big avenue of funding for them is resources. And so that's what I felt like, you know, should fund us or be one of the avenues. But our values, one of, you know, our core values is be customized and personal. And it was hard to we didn't see the favor of the Lord in the area of resources with us, and we kept that kept happening, and I kept questioning, well, it's in my business plan, and that's what we're supposed to be doing, and we're following the right, you know, rules and this type of thing, but it just wasn't being blessed. And so what I feel like is because our vision and what we really were about was being customized and personal and helping women in more of a personal way, that the resources wasn't the right avenue for us. So even though it was in the business plan and we were trying to follow it, it didn't fit in what we saw for our ministry.
Right. And I was thinking of something very similar in church planting, you know, several years ago when church planting was starting to really boom, and 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there was some models of church planting, and people began to replicate that model. So they tried to get things exactly the same way as a successful church planting church that launched into growth, and replicate that just by having the right ingredients. And there was a story in a popular magazine that was told about a church that had everything exactly the way the plan stated, and from staff to facilities to resources to property, had quite a bit of assets, and the church failed. And so you have to wonder, was it a vision issue? Was it a business plan issue? What was that issue? And was it just simply taking somebody else's vision and plan and trying to make it our own? So
And in our case, we were not that. I mean, we do believe in resources, but it became more of our vision to point people towards other people's resources who've already written it and done the research and that type of thing. And save our energy and our talents for what we were really called to do. So, you know, instead of trying to do them ourselves, that's what the lesson that we learned, at least for this season in our ministry.
So, Lori Beth, what would you tell listeners about a business plan versus a vision plan, and how many pages should the vision? What should the vision look like before they get to the business plan?
Well, I certainly don't want to go on record saying that you shouldn't have a business plan.
Sure.
Because everybody should. And I know Maria Hall and Corpus Christi is working on an incubator program helping women entrepreneurs develop business plans. The important thing, my success has come in spite of my plans sometimes more. I think what I'm trying to get to in this chapter and in this discussion, Shelley and Terry, is the fact that we have issues in our hearts, that if those issues are not clear sometimes, the plans we develop can be the overlay plans of the church that failed, you know, that look good on paper,
right,
but don't roll out organically from our own spirit and our own spiritual connection. So what I'm advocating is an organic rollout, which means constant divine connection, in order to, you know, Jesus said, if you remain in me, you will be fruitful. And I can look in my own life when I stepped out of that thinking I had a better way, or if I just, you know, got a 2-pound business plan or a 4-pound business plan, that maybe I could make things happen a little faster.
Sure.
And it didn't quite go that way.
So did Jesus have a business plan, Lori Beth?
I don't think so. I mean, when you look at his schedule, he was very spontaneous as he went about, you know, oh, let's have dinner tonight. Oh, someone's sick. Oh, there's a funeral over here. Oh, you know, he was...
Oh, we need bread or water.
Yeah, or water. There's a wedding. So his plan, his mission was to give us abundant life. He was clear about that. But the way he accomplished that was by being present in the midst of us and responding to the needs.
Hmm.
And, Lord, I love in your book how you say, and I don't know if this is intentional, this rhyming or not, but perhaps where you're killing too many trees and not spending enough time on our knees, perhaps we should stop saying thank you and please and instead go follow the birds and the bees who dance and soar never the same way twice. I love that, and that is something that really caught my attention on that, is not doing the same thing twice, not following
you know, the roadmap already laid down, but listen to what God's telling you to do each day.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, something got a hold of me there, as my sister would say, rhyming.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the bumblebees, and I've studied bees a lot, the way that they communicate, when the bees go out and then they find, let's say, a nectar or pollen or a real rich source, a resource, if you will, for the ministry, the way they communicate it, they come back to the hive and they do a dance. And the people who have watched it, the honeybees will do these, they call them waggles. They do little wagsy dances back and forth, and as they've studied it further, it looks like a dance of excitement, but as they've studied it further, they are actually giving parameters and directions through their movements. You know, we're going to go to fly 200 yards, turn left, quarter field, go by, you know, that they're actually giving mathematical calculations through their movements so that the other bees will know how to go. So that's a combination, Terry and Shelley, I guess, of math, calculation, science, dance, and they went out looking for the honey and found it and came back to tell other people about it.
Very, very cool. So we know, ladies, that a blueprint is necessary and a vision is necessary. And there's ramifications, as you've said here in the book, Lori, of having... of not having either one of them.
Sure.
And so in this Omega Leader series, we're talking about an Omega Leader knows that the business plan is not going to save him or her, but the vision needs to somehow be captured inside this plan. And as you've indicated, Terry, it really needs to be in front of those folks that leader is taking towards the vision.
Right.
And so having it written down, having a clear plan, and being able to communicate and execute and talk about that is probably what will save the plan.
Yes.
And when you say that the business plan comes out of the vision, and that has to be first.
Exactly. Got to have the vision. Well, let's jump into this next piece, Lori Beth. He prepared for deja vu all over again. What is this about? Talk to us about deja vu.
Well, I was rereading the chapter, and in it, the devotional of the Living Word, Sister Ruth Fox was seeing instant replay for the first time. She was watching a football game and didn't realize it was an instant replay feature. And so she turned to her hosts and she said, "Why do they keep making the same mistakes over and over again?"
That's funny.
And it really was deja vu all over again. And I think sometimes as I look at my life, I keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Now, I might not do it in the same time frame, but I can look back and like every 3 years, and I share in this chapter, like every 3 years, I will expand and then I'll suddenly contract. I'll expand and suddenly contract. And my friend Catherine, who's watched this for 20 years, can predict it almost with mathematical certainty what I'm doing, but I'm so sure that when I'm expanding the company, that's exactly what I have to do. And then when I retract, I'm so sure that this is exactly what I'm supposed to do. So, Terry, you and I had a little pre-show conversation about this, and you said that you'd experienced something similar. So what's your deja vu all over again experience?
There's been several of them, but the one that I mentioned to you was the one with marketing. Hunt and find the perfect person that I thought would help market our ministry and give her all the reins, and then we would start going in a certain direction, and it just didn't work out. And I really didn't think it had anything to do with me. I just, all I knew is this person moved on or what happened. And then, two or three years would go by, another person would come on, and she'd be gung-ho and start marketing efforts, going ahead, and then all of a sudden that it stopped. And I finally kept looking at that, and I thought, I think this is me. When I read especially when I read this chapter in the book, I thought, I think I'm fighting with the same thing. You know, I want our ministry to be a success and all that God wants it to be, but there's a part of me that screams, but that means I have to, you know, work harder, and that means I have to, you know, spend more less time with my family and be, you know, less time with my husband. And there's a real fight inside of me that wants to protect mm-hmm. that time. So I think I had a lot to do with those marketing efforts not working out, and I had to really think about that. So that chapter made me realize that I was part of the issue there.
Yes, I'm thinking about a coffee cup that I saw in an art gallery in Santa Fe, and it said she had no problem reaching her destination as long as there were no issues underlying it.
Mm.
So
yeah,
really, if we can get there, it's the issues underlying it that are going to crop up and I think spin us back into the deja vu all over again. And
yeah.
So, Shelley, tell us in your wisdom. You're looking very
yeah,
wise
no.
here.
No, I was the reason I was looking wise is I was reading something here that you tweeted today. It just popped off the page. It says, there are times when it's good to look into your soul. It can't always be them who's wrong. You
mm-hmm.
know that, and so do they. You know, wow, when the same question and same issues and conflicts keep appearing in different costumes, wearing different names, it can't always be about them, right?
Right.
So, Terry, what you're saying is, wow, you finally stopped yourself long enough to say, wow, these marketing people that I'm hiring, the same thing keeps happening.
Yeah.
And so I think what Lori Beth is asking us is, you know, is to peer into our soul. Okay, so we peer in, Lori.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're peering in. What are the lessons there in this deja vu moment that should be happening in an Omega leader's life? What, when we peer in, and you go on to say, how many times am I going to do this in order to get it right?
Right.
5, 6, 7. 70 times 7, you know, what should we be seeing?
Well, the word that cropped up for me, which actually sounds like deja vu a little bit, is dianu, which means it's enough. It is enough.
Mm.
And I think in our culture, it's never enough. So we're going to be constantly driven to more, newer things, fancier things, more success, more status. Whatever it is the measure of what we think happiness is. And I remember seeing a cartoon it showed a little girl and it said, sometimes the biggest pumpkin isn't necessarily the best one for you. And it was this little girl, she's trying to carry out this pumpkin and it's so huge. You know, you can tell she's not going to make it out of the pumpkin patch. And Terry, maybe you and I are similar in that regard where we see the potential, and I know Shelley too. You know, we see the potential and we know, man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
And then you go for it and then you realize, yeah, but maybe I don't need to do all things. You know,
mm-hmm.
maybe somebody else can have some of the bigger pumpkins and I can just take one that's just big enough for me to carve. So I think that's a tension, and I wonder if it's more of a tension for women than it is for men.
Hmm. Yeah, I bet it is. I bet that does speak to women more. And I think it's this whole thing, this whole chapter also really gives a need for reflection and evaluation as leaders. That if we don't stop long enough to look at those things in our lives that are deja vu, that are all repeating itself, then we're just going to keep on doing it. So I think a lot of this chapter to me spoke about just looking back and doing some personal reflection of my own, and then helping those who, you know, we serve to do the same thing, you know, that they're to reflect on what's causing some issues or, you know, just different ways of that they see the deja vu happening in their life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in this chapter, Lori, you really set this up as that Jesus, the Omega leader, prepared for deja vu all over again. And so maybe this text, you know, how many times am I supposed to forgive someone? 7? No, 7 times 70. Because Jesus prepared us that it would come up again and again and
mm-hmm.
again. So typically we don't get forgiveness right on the first run. We don't get patience right on the first
yeah.
run. We don't get character right on the first run, right?
Right.
So these lessons and this deja vu, it's a great way to apply grace as well in the lives of the leader and those that you're leading, because you know people are not going to get it right on the first run. Yeah.
Right. Although fires tend to do pretty well. Fires and earths tend to do pretty well the first time.
No. Yeah. I'll still pick on the elements today.
but it is, you know, I'm thinking of Peter. You'll deny me three times, Jesus said. And if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. That repetition.
Yeah.
And we know that repetition is important in teaching children. So why do we think that we have to get it right the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Or our friends have to get it right the first time? Or our coworkers have to get it right the first time? You know, so really the deja vu that Christ prepared for us is that he's going to love us even when we fall into the mud hole. You know, he's going to be there even if we keep... our shoelaces keep coming untied, you know, about the third lap. It's going to be okay because he's there.
Right.
One of the things that also I thought about in this chapter was the need for accountability in our lives as leaders, and the fact that somebody else, like this, is it Catherine? Yeah, that pointed that out to you. You know, the need to have somebody that close to us that sees those things and that's willing to say, you know, I see this reoccurring pattern in you, you know, that type of thing. So it also made me really reflect on, is that happening in me? Do I have that person in me that is identifying these things?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that can see the patterns and love you anyway.
Yeah, because sometimes we can't see them. Yeah, they're blind spots for us.
Exactly.
And sometimes those that you're leading, you know, they can often pick it out, right? They can look at us and pick those things out pretty quick.
And that's not always easy to listen to. That is not easy to listen to.
That's right. So ladies, as we reflect here about this process of Omega Leadership, you know, where do we take this piece today? What do you want your audience to hear?
Well, I'm thinking of the first book that I ever published, self-published, and it was a collection of sayings with drawings. And one of the sayings that I wrote was, there is a net under us all. Sometimes we dance and sometimes we fall.
Hmm.
Yet there is a net under us all.
Hmm.
And if we can keep the perspective that this is a divine dance, we came from joy, we're returning to joy, everything else is part of the sandwich, and that we're here to learn with a loving God alongside us, then maybe we won't be so hard on ourselves or on other people. And trust that just like Jesus and the Father, the prodigal son came home, you know, to trust that we'll make it home, that we're going to make it across the finish line if we just keep that vision in mind of God's love and sustainability and accountability and being with us, even if it's deja vu time.
Hmm. Very well said. Terry, any last thoughts?
I'm not sure this is directly related to what we just got through talking about, but I do think that, you know, when you were using the word dance, this reminded me that, you know, just dance the dance that God has given each one of us, and that it doesn't look the same. It may, you know, look completely different than anyone else's dance, but the only way we're going to know is just to keep close to him and to keep seeking his direction and not be afraid when ours doesn't look the same. And keep dancing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Any events coming up for Proven Way that you want to let us know about right now?
Well, thank you very much. I'd love to tell you about our Leaders Retreat, which is July 29th and 30th. It is here in the Dallas area at the Hope Center. And our keynote speaker this year is Sherry Rose Shepherd. And last year it was Laurie Beth Jones, and everybody loves Laurie Beth. And thank you again, Laurie. I know I've told you this before, but it was just an amazing time having you last year, and everyone was so pleased. So it's going to be a hard act to follow, but we do think that Sherry Rose Shepherd will have some things to say to our ladies as well. But this is for leaders in the anywhere. We've got people that come from all over the place. So it's provenway.org is the website, and we would love for all you listeners to come join us for that.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Terry, for joining the Omega Leader Show today. Thank you, Lori Beth, for your content and for your interaction with us today on the Omega Leader Show. We'll see you all next week. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
All right. Bye-bye.